So, we were talking about 8 and 9, and I was talking to a couple of guys at the break. Steve, right? Steve was talking, fairly new in recovery, getting ready to go back home and talking about he knows he has amends that are due. And it made me start thinking about being new and that amends process. Let me talk about it for a minute. Not the way I was originally going to talk about it, but let's talk about it in a real way. So, a lot of us, almost all of us in here, we created damage when we were out there. The thing about the program of recovery, at first I thought everybody should be cool because I'm sober. I really thought that's all that needed to be done. I'm sober, slate clean. Now it starts from here. From here forward, it starts. And in our program, there's a long road of reconstruction ahead. We talk about we have folk who run through people's lives like tornadoes. I like to say if you're more an alcoholic, if you're an addict of any variety, not only do we run through the lives like tornadoes, we run like tsunamis. You know, we do wholesale damage. And it's a long road of reconstruction for a lot of reasons. I'm not going to go so much into the reasons, but I'm going to talk now a little bit about the process of amends, because most people in here will be facing them. And why would I have to do them? Don't have to. But this is a 12-step program. And if I want the benefits, if I want to be sober, you can shoot. It's a crapshoot the other way. There are people who stay sober without doing them. What we have found is the most effective way of staying sober, useful, and happy. Sober, useful, and happy. I want to be all them. Not only do I want to be sober, I want to be grown. I want to be some of the words that I don't like. I don't like discipline. I don't like responsible. Those are bad words to me. I don't like sacrifice. I don't like some of the things that I am. But this ain't, you know, a lot of the times people say, you know, I want to feel, I need to get the same feeling that I got from drugs. You know, this ain't really a feel better program. This is a get better program. I have people talking, I don't feel like writing. Cool, noted. I'll be ready to hear you when you finish. I don't feel like going to meetings. Okay, noted. I'll see you tonight. I don't feel like shaking. Okay, noted. This ain't a feel better program, it's a get better program. I train my feet. You feel me? I train my feet. I don't feel like coming in here and getting the humility of being new when I've been around already. Okay, noted. I'm new. But I won't always be this way. So when I do these amends, grown man steps, grown woman steps, you know, all of us are going to set out doing them. I notice how many new people we have, so I'm going to talk about that, newly making amends. And I'm just going to talk about a few briefly. Almost all of us are going to owe the family amends. Often what the family is going to say is, oh, it's cool, well, let's not talk about it. It's cool that you're sober now. My ex-wife, I remember when I got ready to sit down and make amends to her, and I said, look, I need to sit down and talk to you. Oh, no, it's cool. You so. I said, look, if we don't sit down and talk, I might not stay sober. She hurried up and sat her seat down, you know. Hurried up. That'll always get them to sit down, you know, because it's awkward. It's an awkward conversation. It's awkward for people that's close to each other to say, we need to talk. How many, those are chilling words if you're a husband. We need to talk. Oh, my God. You know, so it's an awkward thing. And I sat down, and the thing about it is, you know how it is when you walk on eggshells, when you newly sober and you are around somebody, maybe a parent, maybe a spouse, maybe a mate, and you only stay only so long because you never know when a verbal minefield might go off, right? So you tiptoe around conversations. Well, the thing about doing amends, when I sat my ex-wife down, I said, I need to talk to you. And she said, okay, I don't have anything to say, but I'll listen when I said that. And I told her exactly what it was as specifically as I could. A couple of areas I was general, and it talks about that when you talk about doing amends. I said I wasn't the best husband. I didn't necessarily talk about I'm sleeping with strawberries in motel rooms. That was, you know, but I wasn't the best husband. I didn't bring the check home, you know, and I drained our bank account, you know. I kept you up. I went through, is there anything that you need to say to me that I missed? Is there anything? And she, from not wanting to talk, she went 45 minutes. And she said some things that I was like, where's that coming from? But I don't get to, okay. I'm listening, because there were still some things that got missed. She was bringing up as I think, and she said some things that I had never considered, you know, and it was so eye-opening to me, you know. I don't want you, but I feel like that I took all the shit from you and somebody else is going to reap the benefits. I'm grateful and I'm happy that you're doing well right now, but there's a piece of me that wants you to hurt like I hurt, and I don't like that, but I can't help it. You know, you don't know what it is to lay in bed at night and wait on that phone call. And I didn't know what that was like. I'm the one that's out there. And started sharing some things with me really, really openly and sharing that kind of stuff with me. And here's the other unintended consequence of doing that. The minefields were gone. I would always be so defensive that if she had said some of those things to me uninvited, I would have shut down and we would have been, again, verbal fighting. Because I invited it. Okay, right now, get it all out. We didn't have mind. And from that moment forward, we were cool. It was out. And because I invited it, it didn't feel like I was being attacked. I didn't anticipate that. That's not one of the anticipated aspects of amends, but it's one of the things, particularly when it's close family. Are people you're in ongoing relationships with. That's one of the benefits of it, you know, because I'm a defensive guy. But because I opened it up, here, have at it. Tell me what you need to say to me. And she got it all out in one whop because it would leak out in different areas. It would leak out from time to time, and I get defensive and be, you know, why are you bringing up that old shit, you know, and we'd just be sparring and battling. But right now, it was out. And amazingly, I didn't feel attacked. I felt her. That's the unanticipated part of doing amends. I didn't feel attacked at all. You know, I felt her. So we cried in the amends and came out of it. I was, at the time, wasn't working, and my daughter was in private school, and I was working a temp job. And I said, I'll pay for half of her school at the time. And then 1 month, Mary couldn't pay, and she said, can you pay all of it? And then from that month, I started paying all the school. Then she moved up north temporarily. She took a job up there, and my daughter ended up staying with me. Then my daughter stayed with me and would stay with her mother on those summers. And it just worked out, you know. You don't know. You get on the path. You just put your feet on the path. When you get in the third step and say, God, I'm giving myself to you, you get on the path. I'm under new management. I don't make executive decisions in my life. I'm not management. That's above my pay grade. Okay, God, you do that. I do the heavy lifting, but you do the decision making. You know? And so, so making those kind of amends, Steve, when you go back, and you got a lot of them back in your hometown, you know, you'll be making them with the family. And so in making amends, anybody that's new, run them by your sponsor, and they'll probably have a way that they would amend power tools. There are some things that you have to keep in mind in making amends. One of the things in making amends is, you know, I have to go with a forgiving attitude. If I don't have a forgiving attitude yet, I'm not ready to make that amends. They're on the later list. If I can't make myself have it yet, you feel me? It'll come by making other amends. I'll get the power to make the later amends from doing the now amends. I'll get the power. You know, it's like playing ball. You know, when you'll get better. And then you'll be able to do some other things. You know, first you'll be doing layups, and then you can go out to the three-point line. But don't start out trying to shoot three-pointers. You know, go in there and just so you get better. And so with the family, you run it by. Some people will have to make amends to a spouse. Should I tell a spouse exactly what I was doing? Well, there's instructions in here. Run it by your sponsor. If they know, sometimes they know. You done had a baby with another woman. Bam, okay, it's out there. That's known. We can't not talk about that. You know, sometimes it's better to let bygones be bygones. And that comes out. What's going to happen in those kinds of amends in a practical way that's not in here? Well, fellas, and ladies, you might make amends and it might be known. Or you might talk about, I'm making amends and I hadn't always been favored. And she's going to say, who is that bitch? And you're going to say, I don't have the right to save myself at somebody else's expense. He's going to want to know, who the hell is he? You're going to say no. Then they're going to drop this on you. You mean you think more about them than you do about me? And you're going to stick with this book and say, I don't have the right to involve another person. And it's going to feel difficult. That's why there are instructions in here. People are going to use that and say to you, you mean you must still have feelings. You're protecting them. No, I don't have the right to involve another person. We're talking practical stuff about making amends now. So that's in those particular areas. Somebody in here has a case. I don't ever speak. The book talks about we must not shrink at anything. And it talks about we should be willing. It doesn't say being the needless martyr and going to jail necessarily. There are some sponsors that talk about, no, you should not avail yourself of anything that just go to, no, you should avail yourself of anything that's legally available. If you need to get a lawyer, if you need to do that, then that's me, that's Ralph talking. Again, I'm not your sponsor and I'm not your guide in this. But some people have legal stuff. Ralph, what should I do about it? How free do you want to be? How free do you want to be? I'm not going to sit up here at a podium for 30 minutes and tell you a life, you know, a situation that's going to affect you and your family for the rest of your life. I'm not that speaker. I'm not that guy that rolls in and does that. I am going to share with you that this book talks about we don't shrink and how free do you want to be. And that's what you take up in counsel with somebody. You take up in counsel with somebody who knows your situation closely, not with a guy rolling in and rolling out. But legal situations, I'm going to share with you this, what has happened in this fellowship. Men have found that it is better to go face it than for them to come get you. I know many men and many women in this fellowship who have story after story after story. There's one of them sitting in here right now who have story after story after story about being willing to face whatever it is. And 9 times out of 10, the unexpected happens. But then there's that 10th time sometimes. And my brother was a criminal defense attorney, and he worked with guys, and he represented guys. We had one guy from the home group went down, had a gang of letters and everything else. And when he went in, and they took him. They took him. He was facing 10 years. They gave him 3 years. He ended up doing 12 months. And if you see him now, he will share it was the best decision he ever made. Now, when he was in it, I didn't do that. When he was in it, I don't know what he was saying, but that's not over his head anymore, and he walking free. And he said he was a free man when he was in there. And instead, if they had picked him up, he'd have did the 10. So those stories are personal stories. So amends, they're personal, but they're big, man. They're big. Separate the men from the boys. How free do you want to be? Another big piece of amends, and then I'm going to get off this. Amends to your kids. Now, that's a difficult, because most of us grow up thinking, well, wait a minute, kids, you to be seen and not heard. I don't have to sit down and talk with you. There are people in here who may have teenage kids when they got sober, particularly older kids, and we did damage. We did damage. I don't have that one in my experience. I do have the experience of a lot of people sharing their experience with me of doing amends with their kids and families healing and coming back together. So for you guys that have not done them, those are some of the particular areas to look at. And there are specified ways, if you look in here, and to address each and every one of those situations. So when I finish the ninth step, I should be cool in the game now, right? I've uncovered, discovered, and discarded the things in me that blocked me. By the way, in the fourth step, like we talked about the Uncle Charlie example, if you have a fourth step and a person keeps popping up on your fourth step, keeps popping up, keep popping up, that's for people who've done this for a while. Some of you guys that's new may not know it yet. But if a person keeps on popping up, the residue of the fourth step, you'll find it in the ninth step. If you want them to stop popping up, probably need to make amends. Got a sponsee in mind. Her brother was her molester. I never make amends to his ass. Never, 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 never. He showed up on her list every year. She started tasting this freedom. Made all her other amends. Started tasting this deal. Got transformed in spite of herself. Called me one day from Las Vegas. Sponsor, I'm in Vegas and I'm going over to my brother's house. Made amends to her molester. Still won't let him around her daughter unaccompanied. Doesn't mean we forget. Doesn't mean we are no longer vigilant. Doesn't mean we are no longer responsible. But now, family gatherings are family gatherings. She shares about that. Shares about the freedom from that. And I've seen all sorts of situations resolved like that. The residue of the, and he has not showed up on a resentment inventory again. Residue of the fourth step. When you find yourself, damn, how come I keep writing? How come I still resent? Amends. How the hell do I owe him amends? The hell are you talking about? Damage I inflicted on him as a result of the damage he inflicted on me. Even though the damage he inflicted on me might be glaring, I got to walk on the sunny side of the street. I got to walk on my side of the street. I can't clean his side of the street and expect my side of the street to be the one that gets clean. I got to clean my side. He got to walk on his side. So I do all that, this manner of living that we're talking about, this ego-reducing exercise that puts me in touch with this power. So now I've done all this ego reduction. What happens? I should be able to be living happy, joyous, and free from now on. What happens? Continue to take personal inventory. Why? Because I'm Ralph, and I'll never rise above human. Yeah, I've done all this stuff. Yeah, I've cleaned stuff up. You know a toilet? I don't know if anybody in here is a plumber, but you don't have to be. If you flush the toilet, if you were to take the top off the back and you look at the water, where's the water when you flush? All the way where? All the way down, right? And then what happens? That's the same with ego. That's the same with ego. So I've done steps 1 through 9, and I'm all the way down. Now slowly I'm coming back up, and we get to step 10, flush. Step 10 talks about watch. So now I'm watching in my life. Watch. Resentment. Dishonesty, fear. So it's watching for the same, and watch for selfishness, dishonesty, fear, resentment. Watching for the same. Sounds a little bit like the fourth step again, right? So now I've done the fourth step. Now I'm living this way of living. I'm living it on a daily basis. So I'm watching. And then I'm watching. And it says when these crop up, not if. We know you, Ralph White. That's why we wrote these steps. When these crop up, I just got through sharing with you guys about the kid. I'm getting digging in on him already. When these crop up, when, not if, we ask. So first I watch, then I ask God, okay, God, do something with your boy. Car don't work on itself, right? Give recall to the manufacturer. Okay, God, do something. Do something with my mouth. Do something with me. When these crop up, we ask God. Remove them immediately. Then what do? Discuss with somebody. Call your sponsor. Call a closed-mouth friend. People sometimes have 10-step partners. Call somebody. Man, I did that shit again. You know, did it again. No. You know, when these crop up. So discuss them with somebody. You know, so now I'm discussing, I'm watching, I'm asking, I'm discussing, you know. Then I see what corrective measures I can take. And then it says that all the time, every single one of our steps, turn our thoughts resolutely to somebody we could help. Always the key. Help somebody. Turn to somebody I could help. Help somebody. So the 10-step deal is, okay, now this is the way I'm living my life, man. I'm going to continue to look at myself. I'm going to continue to look at my actions. I'm going to continue. And now that I've been doing this so long, spiritual muscle memory, I already see it. Here's the practical part of the program action. We don't talk about it all the time. We make it sound spiritual. We make it sound homework. But there are some practical aspects of it. Check this out. When you start doing resentment inventory enough and you start doing resentments enough, here's the disincentive. Before you cop a resentment, Steve, you say, shit, I'd rather just let it go right now. I don't feel like writing on his ass. I'm not going to even go there with you. I don't feel like writing on you, you know. And then especially when you let your ego, and that little spark of ego that's still alive, when you get ready to raise up on your boy at a meeting and you and him get ready, really want to take off on him, but I sure don't want to make amends to his ass. I'll leave it alone. I will leave it alone. And that'll become second nature. And that's the thing, and there are some things that are built in practical aspects of the program of action that I don't even look at all the time. I've started looking at that over the years, and I'm like, that was not intended, but I know the way it operates in my life. I don't even cop them on the front end because I don't want to deal with them on the back end. If you leave it alone on the front end, you don't have to trip on the back end. So I am very seldom copping resentments, and I'm even less likely to cop something where I have to make amends. Sandy B says it's only two things to do when you disturbed. Two courses of action when you disturbed about anything. Amend or forgive. I wanted to look for a third course of action. But a third course action involves somebody else all the time. Most freeing sentence in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, our problems, our troubles we think are basically of our own making. To me, that's the most freeing sentence in the book. Why is that? Because if my troubles are in me, the solution is in me. I don't have to wait for you to get better, for me to get better. Our troubles we think are basically of our own making. So two solutions come out of that. Forgive or amend. Otherwise, I got to wait for you to act right. I got to wait for you to come apologize. I got to wait. Amends or forgive. Wait, can't it be something else? What about revenge? What about get back? What about get even? Okay. How's that working for you? As in war, the victor only seemed to win. How's that working for you? Revenge. Amends or forgive. So now I'm at that 10th step, and I'm doing the deal, man. And the 10th step promises are even more powerful than the 9th step promises. And the thing about the 10th step, you know, it says in the 10th step, because now we've done 9, for by now, sanity has returned. You don't consummate step 2 in the 2nd step. Step 2 is a coming to believe. It's the solution. It's consummated after the 9th step. For by now, sanity has returned when it comes to drinking and using. your ass might still be crazy as a little, if you was crazy already, because some crazy folk get this disease too. So if your ass is crazy already, you're still crazy. But when it comes to getting loaded, for by now, sanity has returned. Wow. Wow. Happens at the 10th step. Powerful promise. And that's where the miracle takes place too. That's where the miracle takes place. It says, we've been placed in a position of neutrality. You know, we're not fighting anything. I hear people say, I'm fighting for my life. I'm fighting. I'm one of the ones, not because it's said in the book, because it's in my experience. I'm not fighting nothing. I'm fighting nothing. Share something with you. Again, one of the reasons why I don't discount slogans, I just don't live on them. But I don't discount anything in God's universe. When I was young, it was easy for me too, because I hadn't seen them. If it don't mean nothing to you, it don't mean nothing to you, right? But over the years, I've seen value. So there is a slogan, I don't drink and use no matter what. When I first got into this and it started thumping it real hard, I said, I do drink and use no matter what. But that's because I was misguided about the use of that slogan. That is not my program of recovery. But as a result of my program of recovery, that's my anthem. I don't drink and use. I don't drink and use no matter what. And now what that means is not that I have the choice in it. That means that no matter what has come down the pike in 30 years, I'm drinking and use. I'm going to show you why that's important for me. Nobody else. But you can't make that your program of recovery. It became my anthem. 7 years sober. I'm in a hotel room, Palm Springs, California, 2 hours away from L.A. I was working at a big law firm. We had a trial, and it was for a really big client, the Walt Disney Company. And we won the trial, the first day of trial. And because we were away from home and on trial, our home base was this hotel. We had a war room set up in the hotel, and we won the first day of trial. Disney had two of their high-ranking executives there in the hotel suite, three partners from my firm. It was five people, a Disney paralegal and me. I was the paralegal from my firm, low man on the totem pole. And we stand in his hotel room, seven people in a tight circle. And this dude from Disney, their senior counsel, pulled out a bottle of Dom Perignon. And there were seven glasses in the circle. And he started pouring the Dom Perignon. This is why we talk about causes and conditions. The closest I ever came to taking a drink in this program was not with the obsession to drink. I was not under the obsession to drink. In fact, I didn't want to drink with everything in me, but I wanted to fit in. I didn't want to be inappropriate. I didn't want to look bad. I didn't want to embarrass my firm. I didn't want them thinking badly of me. I didn't want them talking about me. I didn't want to look at them. And all this is running through my head. I mean, milliseconds while he's going around the circle. And one thing was crowding out everything else. I'm just sharing my experience, which is why don't throw anything away. One thing was in my, I don't drink and use. I don't drink and use. I don't drink and use no matter what. That was in my head. Now, that's not what kept me sober. Thank God I was grown. I can't tell you what meeting I could have afforded to miss. I can't tell you what sponsees call I could have afforded to ignore. I can't tell you what H&I panel I could have blew off. I can't tell you which inventory I could have afforded to not write. I can't tell you which fifth step I could have afforded to miss. I can't tell you what it was that gave me just enough to step out the circle. I said, hold on a minute, excuse me. Stepped out the circle, went to the sink in the room, put water in my glass, and came back to the circle. If you had asked me, if confronted with that situation, what I would have done, I would have thought, knowing myself like I do, me, I probably would have let him pour and pretended to drink, is what I would have said I would do. there was a power with me. Now, the anthem wasn't the power, but that was right. But the power gave rise to the anthem. The power gave, and I'm telling you, I had just enough, no mental defense. And I am a what I think you think about me guy. I didn't even realize that freedom from bondage of self. Self was all over me that day. That was self. That wasn't obsession. What are they going to think about me? How am I going to look? All self. Third step, free me from the bondage of self that I may better do. And check this out. When we toasted, and what I was uncomfortable for about 30 seconds, and that's a cold thing. I'm sitting up here thinking I'm going to look bad not drinking. For about 30 seconds, I was uncomfortable. When we clinked the glasses, felt like everybody was looking at me. What's wrong with him? He must have a problem. Me not going to even at least sip, you know. I was thinking that 30 seconds. So don't measure whether you're doing the right action by whether it's comfortable. For 30 seconds, I was uncomfortable. For the last 23 years, I've been real comfortable with that decision. 30 seconds of discomfort, I'll trade it. So I understand the here's the miracle of it. We have not even sworn off. If tempted, we recoil as if from a hot flame. This is the miracle of it. It just comes. Standing in a hotel, Dom Perignon, not a cloud on the horizon, celebrating a W. Nobody in here would know. It just comes. I'm a get high. That used to be my anthem. I'm a get high ass. That used to be who I am. What? This is the miracle of it. It just comes. Through no fault of my own. Might not be there yet. I'm going to tell you, but that's the miracle. For many years, I said, if I could get loaded with no consequences, I would get loaded. I don't know when it just came. One day I was talking and I realized if I could get loaded, I wouldn't. Don't try to be where you ain't yet, but it will come. I don't know when that day happened. This is the miracle of it. I don't wake up in the morning thinking I'm not getting loaded. It just comes. The taste is out of my mouth. This is the miracle of it. It just comes. I go have a daddy that is in bad shape and I'm taking care of, and the thought of getting loaded don't even come to mind. Where'd that come from? It just comes. People lose their parents due to funeral arrangements. People like us. It just comes. Wow. It don't feel like a miracle to me all the time. Baby, I know back there with 10 days, I know that'll feel like a miracle. To it, just not even think of getting lost. It'll come. Jeff, it'll come. It just comes. That's what our program is. It's not a white knuckle program. It's not a, oh, I'm thinking about not getting loaded every day. I walk free. It just comes. This is the miracle of it. Wake up with the taste out of my mouth. Then how the hell do people walk away from this? Because it's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on my laurels. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action. Why is it so easy? Because God works anonymously, and he'll do for me what I came through, and he'll let me take the credit for it if I'm not careful. And I'm 30 years away from my last one, and I'll sit up here and think, this is the way I always been. That's why I got to stay close to you guys. I'm not one that says, oh, meetings ain't still them. 30 years in, they're very important to me. I hear myself say what I need to hear myself say. I get plugged into this because if I get removed from you guys, I'm resting on my laurels. You can't win the day's score with yesterday's game. You can't win the day's game with yesterday's score. I could sit up and tell you, oh, I used to have H&I panels. Oh, I used to go to 3 meetings a day. Oh, and you hear people say that all, what I used to do. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action. You know, we are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. I told you I was just walking up the street and homegirl said, what's happening? I said, what you want to happen? The horn is a subtle foe. Cunning, baffling, powerful, and patient. So we are not really cured of it. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Each day is a day when I must carry into the, you know, carry God's vision. Thy will, not mine, be done. This is the proper use of the will. I call that a will alignment. Align my will with God's will. Each day. And that brings us to step 11. Prayer and meditation. And that's an interesting step. Step 11 talks about, and there's 3 parts to the 11th step. First part is the nightly review. Why would I start the 11th step at night instead of the morning meditation? And the nightly review is when I get through with my day, I go through everything else. Because I'm not going to take today's trash into tomorrow. So at night, I'm going to lay and I'm going to review my day. And I'm going to review it in a constructive way, not a destructive way. It's hard sometimes. I'll sit up and think of all the things I should have done, all the things I should have said, all the things I should have, all the things I did that I shouldn't have been doing. No. We constructively review our day. Ask God if there's any corrective measures that we need to take. You know, we ask him, and so now I get ready. And so I clear the decks for the next day. And in the next day, I go into morning meditation. And for me, there are lots of forms of meditation. I'm not a guy. I've been with Tarek. I'm envious of him. He's got a meditation room. He's a meditation guy. I'm an on-the-move kind of guy. I'm always moving. And meditation, there are books on meditation. There are guys. For me, one of the things that I like and I've discovered on the phone, if you Google 12-step guided meditations, you'll find a lot of them. And I lay in the bed and I'll stick my headphones in and I'll do guided meditations because I like guided. I'm lazy for one thing, and guided meditations work for me. In the book, it talks about we shouldn't be shy about this matter of prayer. And it talks about giving some definite suggestions about prayer. And I'm going to answer a question that was posed a little earlier. And this question goes kind of back to the third step. And the question is, how can you pray to a God you don't understand? How can you pray to a God you don't understand? Because in the third step, that's what we talked about, getting on our knees and doing this prayer. But we're clearing away what's blocking me from the spirit. I don't have a God idea already. You asking me to sit down and pray to a God I don't understand. I'm confused. I'm already searching. I'm looking. How can I pray to a God I don't understand? And I've been sitting up pondering that question. Anybody got an answer? You just do it. Progress, not perfection. Read 86 to 88. Go back to your experience. Okay. And what if I'm the kind of guy that I can't make myself just do it? Progress, not perfection, okay. 86, 88. How do I pray to a God I can, how can I pray to a God I don't understand? Good answers. And I guess, for me, how do I pray to a God I do understand? How many people in here pray? How many people think they understand the God they're praying to? probably do think you understand. I don't know why babies die are born deformed. I don't know why some babies die. I don't know why the good die young. I don't know why some people are taken before their time, or what I think of as their time. I don't know why things go on in this world. I don't know why there are tsunamis that wipe out whole communities. I don't know why some people stick a needle in their arm and don't wake up, and some people end up here. I don't know why. If God is small enough for me to understand, he ain't going to be big enough for me to trust. How can I pray to a God I don't understand? How can I pray to a God I do understand? The thing about prayer and praying to God and everything for me, and here is the disclaimer. When Ralph starts talking about God, if you choose to, you can stop listening, because I'm going to tell you right now, I have no clue about this power that I'm going to sit up here and try to tell you I'm talking about. Let's get that clear right now. But we need some rules of engagement to talk about the power. So what we have is words. So this deal about praying to a God I don't understand. Prayer, anyway, I am so many different places on prayer. Because when I already believe that this power for me already is doing for me without me giving him directions. And a lot of times in prayer, I'm giving directions. Now I got to start walking. I'm giving directions. I'm giving marching orders to my manager. So in the 11th step, it talks about we're not going to be shy about this matter of prayer. And it talks about not praying for my own selfish ends. And it talks about it's easy to understand why we shouldn't do that. It's not always easy for me to understand. Check this out. How many people have prayed and felt as if their prayers weren't answered? I've done that many times. Prayed for stuff. Pray for stuff. And the thing about this thing about prayer, talking about praying to a God I don't understand. Prayer may not always change things for you, but it'll change you for things. It'll change you for things. I don't get on my knees because God needs me on my knees. I don't believe. No, I need me on my knees. I need to be right positioned. And this idea of prayer, Ralph is just talking now. Ain't in here. I'm talking about experience and what I believe. I think this idea of prayer gives me markers. Gives me a marker so I can see where God has been. Sometimes I don't know. And this idea of prayer gives me signposts. In my experience, the God idea, you say, how can I pray to a God I don't understand? So it's almost like, how can I have a relationship to a God I don't understand, right? Because I'm trying to get relationship. You ever been with a woman? You ever been with a woman long term? You understand her? Holler at me. It's easy to be with a relationship with somebody I don't understand. I don't need to understand them to be in love with them. I don't need to understand them to be in relationship with them. I just need to want to be in relationship. I just need to want to be in relationship. I don't need to understand the power. I didn't understand cocaine. Did not understand, didn't try to. I got results from it. Forget understanding it, I got results. This power, forget understanding it, is it giving me results? How's it working for you? And my problem is I want to understand, analyze, figure out. I'm a figure outer. Am I giving results? When they wrote this book, it says, we shall be interested to hear from those who are giving results from this book. Not we are interested from hearing from those who understand this or anything. We're interested, how's that working for you? So my deal and what will free me is the need to understand. No, I need to utilize. Am I giving results? Is it working for me? If it's working for me, I don't know. How many people have computers? Some of y'all understand. I don't understand nothing, but I sure use them. I don't need to understand them to make use of them. I don't need to understand what it is that I can make use of. And the more me and you are talking about this deal right now, the more convinced I am. I don't need to understand the power. That's not the... So the deal is on this journey. So how do I make use of it? I don't want to blaspheme. I'm over here and they're telling me I'm supposed to. Over here they tell me if you think it, it's as good as doing it. Over here they're telling me if you this, it, you that. If you over here and now you guys are coming and telling me to get a God of my understanding. I don't want to undermine what I've been growing up with. They told me that's blasphemy. They told me this. They told me that. How's that working for you? If you go looking for the girl you can understand as opposed to the girl that you attracted, you should. Good luck, fellas. I'm keeping it to the fellas, ladies. We're going to let y'all think you still mysterious. We know you ain't mysterious. You just hold the power. So that question right there, that idea of... how can I pray to a God I can't understand? How can I pray to a God I can't understand? If I pray to a God I understand, he looks a lot like me. You know the difference between me and God? God ain't never woke up and thought he was me. You know that's a big difference. So if I'm praying to a God I can understand, that's bad news for Ralph White. Thank you for that question, though. And so we talk about the 12th step. Because I'm not going to stay on 11 too long. Except for the fact of this. Me and Tark, he was in one of those moments, so he brought it up. And that's in the 11th step, the pause when agitated. Please get a pause button. Please get a pause button. Some of you ain't at the 11th step yet, and you need a pause button even before you get there. Pause when agitated. In 2017 language, don't hit sin. In 2017 language, in fact, don't type the text. Because when you do the text, you're going to hit, it's gone. No, don't start. Don't start texting. Nightly review, which is the first part, because I'm not going to take today into tomorrow. Thank you for that. Morning meditation upon awakening. And the real short prayer on morning meditation, because I don't have time to go through everything, is God, show me what you have me to do today and give me the power to do it. I need you all. And then throughout the day. And throughout the day, we pause when agitated. And if you're in a relationship, or maybe not, if you were in a heated discussion, I add something to pause. I don't usually add something in the book, but I add. Sometimes you have to pause and walk. Because in the pause, they still talking. You pausing and they still talking. You better be walking then. Just pause and walk because they still talking while you pausing. And don't give yourself more credit than you should to yourself. You only going to take so much. Sometimes people think, oh, I'm this spiritual giant. I can take that shit. And next thing you know, you don't want to fight an uneven. But when they fight with weapons you no longer use, you'll feel real vulnerable. And pretty soon you'll pick up their weapons. And what you'll find is, it's like riding a bicycle. You don't want to find that out, but you will find out you're still susceptible to using those weapons. And when you use them, they don't bring you the satisfaction they used to. And they double-edge. Because not only do they cut you, but now you got to go back and make amends. Paul's an agitator. Talks about the 11-step disciplining us. And then it talks about, well, let's go into that last one. Practical experience shows that nothing ensures immunity from drinking as much as work with another alcoholic. This is our 12th suggestion. It works when all other activities fail. So other activities work to ensure immunity from drinking. But if you can't talk it away and you're thirsty, if you can't write it away and you're thirsty, and you can't meet it away and you're thirsty, and you can't anything else and you're thirsty, work with somebody else. Work with somebody else. Practical experience shows. And the first practical experience that gave rise to that sentence, 1934, Towns Hospital. Bill Wilson, hospital for the third time. Something happened to him in the hospital that December in 1934. Powerful. So powerful that it scared him. He called a doctor and told the doctor what happened. Doctor, am I losing my mind? Power of this experience was so remarkable that the doctor, from the outside looking in, said to Bill, I don't know what it is, but you will look good holding on to it. And he left that hospital. Set about looking for people like me and you. 6 months period, nobody stands sober. In those 6 months, some people put together a business opportunity and they wanted Bill to represent their interests. Said, dude, don't mess this up. But if you go down there and our business comes off, you'll be set. And it was a really lucrative deal. You know, Bill was going to come out of it with a vice president. He was going to be set, and he needed to be set. Him and Lois had been struggling for a long time. So he goes off to Akron, Ohio, and his business does not come off too good. And just think if his business had come off well. I think about that when I think about my third step. I think about this decision to get under new management. When I think about the detours in my life and I think about the things that look like disappointments to me, I think of the greatest disappointment for a guy that I know of and how as a result of that disappointment, I get to stand in front of you guys this morning. From that disappointment. And he stood in the hotel lobby. Business didn't come off well. Don't know what he was thinking. He didn't have a fellowship. He didn't have a home group to go back to and tell him, man, this shit ain't working. He's 6 months sober. Nobody else sober. Don't have any idea whether this thing is going to take. Standing in a lobby with $10. Bar over there, he could hear the ice clinking in the glasses. And he's thinking, man, I could get a drink. Pay for a room. And he's despondent. If he's anything like me, he's probably thinking, I knew the sober thing wasn't going to work out. Here it is. I get the opportunity. I think I'm going to be on my feet. Damn. God, what is this about? What part of the game is this? Why you set your boy up like this? And he's standing in that lobby and he's desolate. And a thought comes. I need to find a drunk. Not to drink. And through a series of divine coincidences, he got put in touch with a lady. Lady who was a member of Oxford Group. Oxford Group had what we would call meditation. They called it the guidance. And in their guidance, they used to sit and they used to think and they used to listen for guidance from power greater than themselves. And in Henrietta Seiberling's guidance, she had gotten the idea to pray for Dr. Bob Smith. A member of the Oxford group who was struggling with alcoholism, struggling with his drinking. And she had been praying for him. And she gets a call from this self-described rum hound from New York. He says, I understand you know somebody who might have a problem with their drink. She said, I think I do. And she put him in touch with Ann Smith. Bill Wilson called Ann Smith. Can you put your husband on the line? He's indisposed at the moment. He was passed out. Day before Mother's Day. Talked to her husband. He said, tell dude I'll give him 15 minutes tomorrow. They met at the gatehouse at the Cyberling estate. Henrietta Cyberling facilitated the meeting. And Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob Smith met, and that 15-minute meeting turned into about 5 hours. Dr. Bob Smith told his wife, I found a guy who understands. This dude knows me. And Bill Wilson bought another day sober. And when he put this book together, he remembered that experience. He said, practical experience shows nothing ensures immunity from drinking. How he know that? Because he didn't have a sponsor. He didn't have a big book. He didn't have a fellowship. He didn't have a home group. He didn't have a road dog. He didn't have a closed mouth friend. He didn't have a written inventory. He found a drunk. That's our 12th suggestion. We've been given something. It's something we, the only people, can reach people like us. God himself, if he had talked to me October 11th, 1986, I would have thought I was having a PCP flashback, and I would have been like, dude, I needed one of you. God with flesh on. I needed one of you. It's what we do. It's our charge. It's our call. It's what we do. We go through this process. We get these awakened spirits, and we put it into service, and we find another one. I like to think there were flyers. Tarek sent me a flyer at this event. I like to think each one of us is a flyer. God sends out his flyers, and he sends them in various places in different languages. My mama talks church. My mama talks Baptist. Some people talk Catholic. Some people talk us. I talk 12-step. He sent flyers out for people like me and you. And we practice these principles in all our affairs, the second half of that 12-step. We man up. We show up in life. We get our kids out the system. We get back in the house. We take care of our dad. We go back to our family. And we get to do it for fun and for free. I'm always honored to get the opportunity to talk about what God has done for me in my life. And it's been a lot, but if he's done for you what he's done for me, you talk about him all weekend too. Thank you, guys.